would not, could not, would not, could not. Would you say that with me? Would not, could not. There was a man, and he had an accident, and he hurt his knee. He had the MRI, and the MRI showed that he tore his ACL and his meniscus. And they had to operate, and the doctor did the operation, and after the operation, the man came and met with the doctor, and the doctor said that the surgery was successful, and the doctor gave this man some exercises to do with his leg. He said, we have to get the range of motion back here in your knee, so you've got to do these exercises. And we'll meet back in 3 weeks. Well, the man went home, and the man decided not to do the exercises. I wonder why. It hurt. So in 3 weeks, he went back to the doctor. And the doctor took a look and manipulated his knee a little bit, and he looked at the man and said, he didn't ask him a question. He said, "You're not doing your exercises. And if you will not do these exercises, if you will not, you will not be able to bend your knee. And then you know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to bend it for you. And it's going to rip everything I did out, and you're going to have this operation again. If you would not bend your knee, you could not bend your knee." There was another man who was ill. He had an illness, and he was in his bed, and he just didn't have a lot of energy. But the doctor came, and the doctor prescribed. He said, "Listen, you've been ill, but to gain back your strength, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get out of bed every day, push yourself out of bed, and I want you to walk around the block one time a day. One time a day. Don't run. Don't even jog. Just walk around the block every day." The man decided that he didn't want to do that. Now that man today is a helpless, atrophied, bedridden invalid. He would not get out of bed. Then he couldn't get out of bed. Do you know you find that principle in Scripture? Every time I read through the Bible, I try to read through once a year at least. And when I go through with the children of Israel, you see it in Joshua and in the book of Judges. God told them, when you go into the land, what I want you to do, I want you to drive out the inhabitants of the land. I'll be with you. I'll do the heavy lifting. I'll be with you, but I want you to drive out the inhabitants of the land. Because if you don't, they're going to become thorns in your eye. Ooh. They're going to become briars and whips on your back. So go in, drive them out. And you read that several of the tribes, it says, they would not drive out the inhabitants. They didn't do it. They didn't do what God told them to do. But it's interesting. You read a little bit further, and it says, they could not drive out the inhabitants. They could not drive out the Jebusites. They could not drive out the Canaanites. They would not. Then they could not. Ooh. The message today is entitled, "Would Not, Could Not, the Eternal Danger of unbelief. Take your Bibles, open them up to John chapter 12. Open to John chapter 12. We're going to be considering. And this is a sobering, sobering message today. But in John chapter 12, verses 35 through 50, we're going to be looking this morning. You remember that John 12 marks the end of Jesus' public ministry. Chapters 1 through 12 cover about 3 years in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapters 13 through chapter 17 cover one night as he ministers to his disciples in the upper room. But here we come to the end of his public ministry. And in verse 34, Jesus is speaking to the crowd of people who had come to the Passover and for the feast. And then in the verses following, these verses speak of light and darkness and man's responsibility to respond to the light. And what Jesus says here, folks, is very serious. It's very sobering. Not all scripture is all fun. It's sobering what he says here in these verses. Men need to respond to the light now. Now. And if they would not, they could reach a point where they could not. Look at verse 35. Well, let's read this. And we're going to go through this morning. So Jesus said to them, "For a little while longer the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of light." These things Jesus spoke, and he went away and hid himself from them. But though he had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, which he spoke, "Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" For this reason, they could not believe. For Isaiah said again, "He has blinded their eyes and he has hardened their heart so that they would not see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted, and I heal them." These things Isaiah said because he saw his glory and he spoke of him. Nevertheless, many, even of the rulers, believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. And Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me. He who sees me sees the one who sent me. I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father told me." Consider with me, first of all, the source of light revealed. Verse 35, the source of light revealed. Now, I've got to digress a little bit here. In Scripture, there are five sources of light. Five sources of light. And it's important to know this. In fact, you could do a topical sermon and just preach these five sources of light. But we have five sources, and let me give them to you. Number one, creation. We sang about it today, didn't we? Creation is a source of light. In fact, when God created the heavens and the earth, first thing he said is, let there be light. Creation is a source of light. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, the heavens are declaring the glory of God, and his firmament are declaring his handiwork. And there's no place around the world that that's not seen. There's no language beyond creation. Creation is speaking. That's why it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and his divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood through that which has been made, so that they are without excuse. I'll tell you what, God reveals himself in the light of creation. There's a second source of light, and that is conscience. Conscience. We read about that in Romans chapter 2 in verses 14 and 15. It says, for when the Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively those things that are written in the law, these not having the law are a law to themselves, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or defending them. Everybody, every man, woman, child has a conscience. Now listen, we are in a fallen world and we have fallen consciences. We do. But you know what? Everybody knows that there is right and wrong. And somebody said, no, we belong, there's no moral absolutes. Baloney. Give me your wallet. Or I'll take it from you. You can't do that. That's not right. Well, what? What'd you say? Everybody has a conscience. Everybody knows that there's right and wrong. And you know what else everybody knows? They know they're a sinner. They know they don't even measure up to their own conscience. Everybody knows that. It's the light of conscience. There's a third source of light, and that's the light of common grace. Common grace. You can read about that in Matthew 5, 34 through 48. Jesus said it this way, God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. He causes the sun to shine, sometimes. He causes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. And why? Because he's a gracious God. You know of God's common grace here today. You know how you know that? There's air in your lungs. There's a heartbeat in your chest. That's grace. You know? And people know that there's a goodness, a grace out there. They know it because of the common grace of God. They've got light. They've got the light of creation. They've got the light of conscience. They've got the light of God's common grace. Everybody has that light. Everybody has that light. It's called, listen, you can put this down, natural revelation. Natural revelation. And these three act as a universal witness, making God known to everyone, leaving mankind without excuse. I'll tell you what, even the atheists say, oh, I don't believe there's a God. Baloney. You know there's a God. I'm an agnostic. Well, you can be an agnostic, but you know there's a God. You may suppress the truth, not in intelligence, in unrighteousness. See, they suppress the truth and I'm not going to acknowledge God. You know there's a God. Everybody has that light. Then there's two other sources of light. The fourth source of light is the convicting, enlightening Word of God. Psalm 19, 7 and 8. The commandment of the Lord is in pure, enlightening the eyes. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm going to tell you what. This book is a light. This book is a light. It's a bright light. And you know what it does? First of all, it confirms the first three sources of light. It tells us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Right? It confirms our conscience. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned our own way. It confirms our conscience. And it confirms the grace of God, the common grace of God. You know what it tells us? You know what light it gives us? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Wow! It tells us that Christ died for our sins. He was buried. On the third day, he rose again. What's that? The gospel. The gospel. That's light. That is light. Praise God for that light. You know, it says in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4, even if our gospel is veiled, it's only veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving that they might not see the light of the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what, this word is light. We need to read our Bibles, don't we? You want to get some light? Read the Bible. Read God's Word. But then there's the fifth source of light. And that's Christ Himself. Christ Himself. See, these last two sources of light are what is called special revelation or supernatural revelation. And that's what we have here in verse 35 of our text. Remember, we've already seen it, right? In John, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And then John 1:4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of man. We saw it over with Pastor Tyree when he preached out of chapter 8. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus. And here in our text, see, the source of light is revealed. So Jesus said to them, for a little while longer, the light is among you. He's talking about himself. See, in a couple days, he's going to the cross. And then he was going back to heaven. But right now, he said, the light is among you. Jesus Christ is God's ultimate source of light and life. Ultimate source. Now, application. Application. Everyone in the world has enough light to know there is a God, to know that they are a sinner, and to know that there is good, a good behind this whole thing. Someone good, someone gracious behind this whole thing. Everyone has that light. This knowledge is enough to render them without excuse. But listen to me. It's not enough to save a person. It's not enough to save. It's not enough for a person to come to Christ. You know what they need? They need the supernatural revelation of God. They need the Bible. They need someone to preach the word to them and disciple and to get the word out. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by word of God. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Folks, people get saved when they hear the word of God. People get saved when they hear the gospel. When they hear the gospel, the supernatural revelation of God. You see, I think, whenever I think of this, I think of Acts chapter 10. I think of the man called Cornelius. And you remember Cornelius? He had the light of creation. He had the light of conscience. He had the light of common grace. And you know what Cornelius was? He was lost, but he was a God-fearer. He's a God-fearer. He accepted that light. And you know what God did? He sent him more light. He had a vision. And an angel said, send for a guy named Peter. And he did. And Peter came, and what did he do? He preached the word. He shared the gospel. And guess what happened to Cornelius? He got saved. See? He could. You know what? If you respond to the light you have, guess what? God will give you more light. God will give you more light. But they need the light. This is a call to missions. People need missionaries. People need people to tell them about Jesus. And it's not just full-time vocational missionaries. We're all to be missionaries who know Jesus. Amen? This is a call to missions. This is a call to share Jesus Christ with people that they might be saved. The ultimate source of light is Jesus Christ in the gospel. Now look, secondly, at the call of Christ. We saw the source of light revealed. Now look at the call of Christ extended in verse 35 and 36. And first of all, the recognizing of the opportunity. The recognizing of the opportunity. Jesus said, for a little while, the light is among you. Walk while you have the light. In other words, recognize the opportunity and act. If God gives light to an individual, respond to the light. Respond to the light. He says, walk while you have the light. People who walk in darkness don't know where they're going. Do you see what it says there? Walk while you have the light, so the darkness does not overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. By the way, do you know where you're going? Do you know where you're going? I'm asking you. Do you know where you're going in life? When you die, do you know where you're going? People who walk in darkness, they don't know where they're going. Now, it reminds me of a story of an airplane pilot. Maybe you heard this story. But this pilot was flying this plane and filled with people. And all of a sudden, his instrument panel goes dark. Boom. Nothing. So he is actually flying in the dark. So he gets on the intercom and he says, this is your pilot. And I have some good news and some bad news. First, the bad news. My instrument panel has gone out and it's dark and we're lost. Now the good news. We have a tailwind and we are making excellent time. But folks, that's how a lot of people are going through life. They're in the dark. They're going fast. They're racing through life in the dark. And they don't know where they're going. Oh my. If God gives you light, recognize the opportunity and respond to the light. Secondly, here, the relinquishing of the opportunity. He says, well, while you have the light, you know what that suggests? Listen to these words. While you have the light. That suggests there may come a time where the opportunity is past and the light is withdrawn. Man, you know what? Man in his cockiness thinks, I can accept Christ. I can come to God whenever I want. And on my terms. No, that's not right. This text urges man to come to Christ when the light comes, for the opportunity may not always be there. In other words, listen, don't play games with God. Don't play games with God. When the opportunity comes, walk in the light. Even Christians. It was probably, I'm guessing now, because time kind of melds together, but maybe 8 years ago, I had a neighbor. Lived two doors down from me. His name was John. And I was out in my backyard one day, and I saw John over in his backyard, and I just kind of felt, you know, you need to go talk to him. So I went over, and I walked over, just started chit-chatting. I got an opportunity. I took the opportunity to share Jesus with him. And as I always do, I pulled out a tract and gave him a tract. I said, John, you need Jesus. You need to receive Christ. And right there, he did not. He did not profess the Lord. A week later, John was driving down south of here and was in a head-on collision and was killed. Folks, I pray that he receive Christ. I pray that maybe when he went home and went to bed and he thought, you know, I need Jesus. Maybe I hope and pray he received the Lord. Because he had an opportunity. But a week later, he was in eternity. And then I thought of all the times when God had told me, go share with somebody, and I didn't. I thought, oh Lord, when the opportunity comes, when the light is there, when God speaks, move in the light. And if you don't know the Lord, come to the light. See, the response here to the opportunity, do you see that what it says? The response, while you have the light, see it there in verse 36? Verse 36, while you have the light, what? Believe in the light. Believe in the light. Word believe is eight times in verses 36 through 46. It means put your trust in, put your full weight on, call to and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. He died for you on the cross. He rose from the dead. Believe in the light. He's urging people to make a decision. Put their faith in Christ. And you know what? The call still goes out today. Jesus is still calling. Jesus is still with his arms out. Come to the light. Believe in the light. That's the call. It's extended. It's extended today. The Philippian jailer said to Paul and Silas, "What, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." That's the call. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Listen to me. Believe while you have the opportunity. The result of taking the opportunity and believing, see it there? In verse 36 again, believe in the light so that you may become sons of light. Sons of light. Sons born of the light. Sons that reflect the light. I almost said there are five sources of light in the Bible. Yea, six that Scripture says. That's from Proverbs, right? I almost said, you know, the believer's a source of light. But you know what? We're not. It's Jesus in us that is the source of light. It's Jesus. We're kind of like the sun and the moon. The moon has no light of itself, right? It reflects the sun. But when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we become sons of light. We become, you are now the light of the world with Jesus in you. So we have the source of light revealed, Jesus Christ, the call of Christ extended, believe in the light. Believe in the light. But look at verses 37 through 41. The warning of God is stated. The warning of God is stated. Look at their exposure to the light. The exposure. Let me read those verses. But though he had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this reason, they could not believe. For Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and he has hardened their heart so that they would not see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted and be healed. The exposure to the light. Folks, the people that Jesus was speaking to had the light of creation, the light of conscience, they had the light of common grace, they had the special revelation. They had the Bible. These were Jews. They had access to God's word. But more than that, they had Jesus himself right there, the word of God, the living word, speaking directly to them. He himself was right in their midst. They had seen him. They had heard him. They had seen his miracles. Verse 37. Look at 37. But though he had performed so many signs, where? Before them. They saw him do this stuff. They saw what he had done. They had not just a little bit of light. They didn't just have a little flicker candle. They had the floodlight of God. Floodlight of God shining right there, right in front of them. Brightly shining in their presence. But look at their response to the light. Look at their response. He says here, but though they had performed so many signs before them, yet what? They were not believing in him. They were not believing in him. They had the light, but they would not believe. They were like the Pharisees, right? Chapter 5, verse 39, it says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it's these that are written of me. And yet, listen, you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life. They saw what Jesus did. They interviewed the guy that was born blind that Jesus healed. They knew of Lazarus had walked out of the grave. And you know what religious leaders were trying to do? They couldn't deny the miracle, so they wanted to get rid of the evidence. Let's kill Lazarus. Can you believe that? They had all this light, but they would not respond. So we have verses 38 through 41, the condition explained. They would not believe. Now they could not believe. Would not, could not. For this reason, they could not believe. You mean, Pastor, that people can have the light of God and reject the light and come to a place where they can't believe? Yes. These are solemn words. These are solemn words. There's an eternal danger in unbelief. Because it says here, look at the text. He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart. I got a question. Who's he? God. God. These are solemn words. If a person hears the truth and rejects the truth and hears the truth and rejects the truth and receives and has light and rejects the light and has light and rejects the light. God can step in and bring, listen, judicial blindness. Because they would not believe. Now they could not believe. Jesus, in Luke 13:34-35, he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and you stone those that are sent to you, how many times I would like a hen gather you as chicks under my wings. But you would not have it. Do you hear that? You would not have it. That's Luke 13. Do you know what it says in Luke 19? Jesus is coming in, sometimes we call it the triumphal entry. But you know what happened in Jerusalem back that time? That's not the triumphal entry. Triumphal entry is in Revelation chapter 19. That entry is the tearful entry. Because Jesus, as he came down from the Mount of Olives, it says he wept over the city. He wept over the city and he said, if you had known in this day, even you, the things that make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. They would not believe. Now they could not believe. Would not, could not. Believe in the light. What does it mean to believe in the light? Belief in Christ clarified, verses 42 through 50. I'll do this quickly. Four times in verses 42 through 46, we have again, believe. Believe. Let me give you four things. First of all, to believe in Jesus should lead to open confession. You see in verse 42 and 43, nevertheless, many even of the rulers believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him, for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. See, there were those who would not believe, and there were those who believed but would not openly confess. Nicodemus, I think, and Joseph of Arimathea were in that crowd. Later, they became open confessors of Christ. But when you believe in the Lord, you confess Christ. There's the verse that says, they believed, therefore they spoke. To believe is to openly confess Christ. To believe, secondly, in Jesus, listen to this, is to believe in God. Verses 44 and 45, Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me. He who sees me sees the one who sent me. I'll tell you, you can't get any clearer than that. Jesus was God the Son. Tell that to your Jehovah's Witness friend. Tell that to the Unitarian that says, oh, Jesus was just a prophet. He was just a good moral teacher. He was a religious leader. But he wasn't God. Huh! You've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've seen me, you've seen God. Anybody, I don't care if you're the highest archangel in heaven, that would say something like that, that would be blasphemy. Jesus, to believe in Jesus is to believe in the eternal Son of God. Thirdly, to believe in Jesus brings about a changed life. 46 and 47. I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. Will not remain in darkness. We believe in Jesus. We come. He comes into our life. You know what he does? He changes your life. He changes your life. We don't remain in darkness. We walk in the light as he is in the light. And by the way, if there's no change, you may have come to even up in front of a church and knelt down and I prayed the prayer and there's no change. There's no change. Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. So when Christ comes into a life, he changes the life. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation or creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He changes. And you say, well, I just haven't changed much and this kind of thing. You know what it says? If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come into the world to judge, but to save the world. But what judges them? He who rejects me does not receive my sayings, has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. So to believe in Jesus is to openly confess him. To believe in Jesus is to believe in God. To believe in Jesus, it'll change your life. He'll change your life. And again, if you say, I believe, but you don't have a change in your life, I share with you what C.H. Spurgeon once said. He said, if you profess Christ and you don't, and it doesn't, there's not a change in your life, you need to go back and repent of your repentance and get saved. That's good. But it's right. And then lastly, to believe in Jesus, praise God, is to have eternal life. Eternal life. Verse 50 says, I know that his commandment is eternal life. When you believe in Jesus, you have eternal life. You have a personal relationship with God, with his Son, that starts the moment you believe and will not end throughout all eternity. That's eternal life. Praise God. So just in closing, conclusion application. Don't play games with God. My, oh my, don't play games with God. God has given us great light. Everybody here, everybody watching, everybody in the world, God has given us great light. He's given us creation and a conscience, and he's given us common grace, but he's given us the Word of God, and he's given us his Son. In these last days, he's spoken to us through Jesus. We have great light. Respond to the light. Come to the light. There's opportunity today to respond. Because today is the day of salvation. Listen, is God speaking to anyone here? Today is the day of salvation. If you are not sure you are saved, today, come. We'll meet you. I'll meet you up here in the front. The elders will meet you. We'll help you. We'll pray with you. Call on the name of the Lord. Believe that he died for your sins and rose from the dead. You may not have an opportunity tomorrow. Listen to me. This is solemn words. But we don't know. John, my neighbor, when I talked to him, he didn't know in 7 days he was going to step into eternity. He didn't know. The Bible says this: seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked man forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him. And to our God, and he will find mercy. So if God's speaking to you this morning, you heard the light. You've seen the light. I don't care if you're young, you're a teenager, you're a child, you're middle-aged. If you don't know Jesus, now's the time. And to believers here, it's time for us to stop being secret disciples for Christ. We need to take the gospel out to the world. We need to share Jesus with people. They need special revelation. They need the light of the world. They need Jesus. Will you go out this week? Will you contact somebody this week? Will you tell somebody about the Lord? Lord, we just bow before you today, and these are sobering words, Lord. They are sobering. We're just so thankful that you have given us light. Help us to be good stewards of that light. And Lord, maybe you brought somebody here today that maybe they haven't come to the light, but today you are speaking to them, and they know it right now. And you are saying, just like you did 2,000 years ago, come to the light. Come to the light. Believe in the light and be saved. Lord, help them right now, I pray. And Lord, forgive us for not being the good stewards that we should be of the light. Help us to be better at that, Lord. Because people are dying without Christ. Yes, Lord. Holy Spirit, do your work. Right now, Lord, do the heavy lifting. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do. Show us, Lord. In Jesus' name.